Sing and be happy today.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Sing and be happy today ought to be the motto for every day.
Amen.
As long as we're here, we ought to be happy.
That's right.
And I know some of us don't feel the best or don't feel the way we'd like to feel, but once again, as I always say, thank God you're feeling at all. For you could have been among those who are missing today. But God has lengthened out our lives to give us another opportunity. Thank the brothers for the brother for the song service. Thank those who prayed and read the scriptures. And thank you all for being here this morning. And the scripture that was read for your hearing was from the 5th chapter of Luke, starting at verse number 3, and I'll reread it. It says, "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break." This morning, let us use for a subject, cast out into the deep. And before we go any further, let us take a moment and approach the throne in prayer. O great God, the Father and Creator and Maker of all things on heaven and in earth, we thank you this morning, Father, for you have given us an opportunity to be in your house to serve thee this morning, we hope in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning for those that were able to get out and be with us this morning, and we're praying for those who were unable to get out and be with us, especially those who may be sick, those who are unable to be here because of health concerns. We thank you, O Lord, and we pray this morning and thank you for the church itself, the one that your Son shed his own blood for. We thank you that we are able to be members of this body. We thank you this morning for this particular congregation, and we're praying that the strength of the membership will help to strengthen the church. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for the leadership in this congregation as well as their families, and we pray for the membership that they also may be strengthened and may be able to therefore give strength unto one another. Thank you this morning, Lord, for blessing us. We thank you for our food, our shelter, and our clothing. But most of all, Father, we thank you that your Son went to yonder's cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. We pray and ask you, Father, this morning to open up our hearts and minds that we may hear and receive the engrafted word, which is yours. Thank you this morning, Father, for everything you have done for us. And as we continue to pray, we pray for everyone, and especially we pray for those who have suffered great loss over on the island of Japan, O Lord. We just pray for those people. We're still praying for all of those people who may have faced natural disasters. We thank you, Father, for everything. Then, my Heavenly Father, we come praying for all of the members of the church and especially those who are holding up the bloodstained banner. We thank you, O Heavenly Father. We come now praying and, Father, and asking you to continue to bless each and every one of us as we continue on with today's services. Be with us, Father, and if we do things that are found decent and in order, please accept the praises and the worship we issue up to you this morning. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, the one who marched up Calvary's hill, hung on Calvary's cross, came down from the cross, and came back, went back to heaven. We thank you in his name's sake. Amen. This morning, I know that there are some in the audience who are fishers this morning, and people who fish have many fish stories to tell. Some even tell what we might class as a fish tale. And that's T-A-L-E-S. They like to talk about not the one that they got away, but the big one that didn't get away. The longer the conversation goes, the bigger and longer the fish get, or so they say. And I can tell you up front that your fish will never be as big as the one that they let get away, or that they caught. There are some stories, not tales, in the Bible regarding fish and fishing. I would like for us to consider that these are stories and they are meant to teach us something about the Word of God. Do you recall that it was Jesus in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 17 where Jesus came across two brothers who were fishermen and whom he invited to come after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. When you think about it, church, we all must become fishers of men. There are these three stories that I'd like to speak on today, and they have at least one thing in common, all three of them, if not more. That is, God gave all three direct orders, and all three main characters either disobeyed or objected. And the reasons behind God's word. This is our mission today, to become fishers of men. No matter how many times a fisherman goes fishing, he always wants to go out again because he always has in mind that there's a bigger fish to be caught. He always seems to think that if I go fishing next time, I will do better than I did the last time. When we as Christians think, we should also have our attitudes as that of fishing. But we should become as fishers of men. Let us look at the Word of God and what He proclaims regarding fish. First of all, let us hear the story of a great fish. First thing we need to see and understand is that God sent word to Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, around verses number 2 and around in verses number 17, we find in verse number 2 that God, in verse number 1, I should say, that God tells us of the contents of His word. In verse number 1, He gave Jonah three specific instructions. He told him, one, to get up and to go. Number 2, He told him where to go, to Nineveh. And number 3, He told him what he was to do when he got there, and that was preach. God made His directions simple and clear, and His word to us is just as simple today as it was back then. We are supposed to do exactly what God tells us to do, and we are to obey God. Now, I know that there are those who would say, God won't ask me to do nothing. He won't ask me to do anything because I'm not important enough. How very wrong you are. God can use all of us, though it may be in different ways. A simple matter of calling someone when they are sick to say hello, especially if that person is still sick, or to give bread to someone who is hungry. These are ways that God may ask you to help. And some of us, we have a tendency to think that God only asks important people to do important and big things. But your life consists of doing little things sometime in order to help get a big point across. You do something little. If you call me and I've been sick for a little while, you don't know how much that call may mean to me. You don't know how cheerful a sounding voice over the telephone can be when you've been laid up for a while. Man must learn to accept the fact that being important in God's sight is not the same as what man counts importancy. When we go back to read Jonah and he begins to teach us a valuable lesson, and that is you cannot disobey God and have peace in your life. You cannot place your thoughts over God's thoughts. Some people apparently feel that their thoughts are higher than God's thoughts. And Jonah must have been one of them. He felt that a cruise to Tarshish was a higher priority than serving God. But in verse number 17, we find that God Himself prepared a great fish to teach a lesson to Jonah. Most Bible students know this story. They know how that Jonah was swallowed up and lived for 3 days and 3 nights inside this great fish, teaching us that our thoughts and God's thoughts are not on the same page sometimes. In Isaiah chapter 55, in the verses number 8 and verses number 9, the Bible says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as high as the heavens, for the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways and your thoughts." These words come directly from God. So just when you think your priority is higher than that of God, you need to take a moment and rethink your priorities. You need to take a moment and see what God would have for you to do, church. You need to take a moment and say, am I doing the will of the Lord? Now, certainly when Jonah got word from the Lord to go down to Nineveh, I'm sure that in his mind he probably thought to himself, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do things my way, and then maybe when I get the time, maybe I'll go down and do what the Lord says. But you can't stop God's progress from coming along. You've got to join the progress, or you're going to be left behind. Now, when you think about it, church, also there's another story in the Bible in Luke chapter 5 and verses number 3 through 6. Here in the 5th chapter of Luke, it talks about a lack of fish. Here in the 5th chapter of Luke in verses 3 through 6, we find a lesson for those discouraged Christians and a way to solve some of today's most pressing issues. Imagine, if you will, how depressing life can cause us to get. It seems as though no matter how hard we try, it just doesn't seem to be enough. Seems as though no matter how much you pour in the top of the bucket, it seems to leak out the bottom of the bucket. When our help just ain't helping, we need heavenly help. And the case in point in those three verses of Luke chapter 5. Look at the verses of Luke chapter 5 and verse number 3. It says in verse number 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I say this morning to us as Christians, we've got to cast our nets out into the deep. We've got to look further. Then, you know, and some of us, we are under the impression that long as I'm at church and some of my brothers and sisters are here, that's all that's necessary for me to be a good Christian. But I got to tell you this morning, being a Christian means you reach out and try to save the lost, try to bring Jesus to some of those who have not heard of Jesus or who don't know Jesus. Some will say, well, when you go back and you talk about that bucket that has a hole in it, why can't you just discard it and get another one? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you can't always toss out the problems of life. Sometimes we must deal with what we have been given. And we've got to learn to deal with that fact. And sometimes the matter is too pressing for us to handle all by ourselves. It seems as though no matter how much or how hard you try, you just can't seem to get a handle on the problems that plague you. When our help just ain't helping, we need heavenly help. And so when you look in Luke chapter 5 there, and you look what the Lord told Simon to do, we find Jesus offering help from above for an earthly dilemma. The disciples had been fishing all night long and had caught nothing. Sometimes it seems that no matter which way we turn, we can't seem to get folk to turn to God. We perhaps have had Bible studies with some of them. We have read the Word of God to some of them. And we have even prayed with them. And then perhaps, just perhaps, we come to realize, I can't do this without the Lord. So we sometimes begin to look at we come to our own wit's end. But I suggest we ought to look to the Word of God. When the membership is low, and when the membership is low, and when the collection is even lower, listen to Jesus, what he said in verse number 4 there, where he told Simon. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. But this is typical of some church folk right here in verse number 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've been out here all night long and we haven't taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So what is he saying? Lord, I apparently disagree with you, but because you said it, I'm going to do it anyway.
Amen.
And then that's the way it is with some of us as Christians this morning. We are reluctant to obey the will and the word of God. We know that that's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. but we want to take issue with it up front.
That's right.
We want to say that, Lord, it just doesn't seem like your way is any better than my way. Well, if his way is not better than our way, then thank God that his way was the right way when he went to yonder's cross.
Amen.
So when he told Simon, he said, Be willing, accept the fact that you need to go out into the deep and let down your nets for a drop. And then when you think about it, when I'm trying to bring the Word of God to someone, when I'm trying to bring someone closer to Christ or get someone to come to Christ, I can't always just depend on that they're going to come to the church house. Sometimes we have to go to their house. And when you get to their house, you've got to be ready. And getting to someone's house and trying to teach the Word of God sometimes is a daunting task for many of us. So when I think about it, I went to the book of Ecclesiastes where the writer said in chapter number 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So when Jesus told Simon in verse number 4 to launch into the deep, his comment should have been, thank you and yes, Lord. Instead, in verse number 5, he did what many of us like to do. He found a reason to not accept or to complain. Complaining doesn't make any difference when the Lord has told you to do something. You ought to do it. Whether you have tried it your way for months or years, or maybe you just want to give God's, you may just want to give God's way a try. So when the disciples tried God's way, look what happened. Look what happened in verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Now, think about that, church. They had been out all night long. They had been toiling, and no doubt some of them probably had fallen asleep while they were fishing. But they knew that they had tried all night long, and the fish just wasn't biting. How many times have you sat out on the bank, Sister Taylor, and the fish just don't seem to come your way? Well, it's the same way when you're trying to get folk to come to Jesus. They don't sometimes just don't come your way. Right. So he said, launch out into the deep. Cast your nets out into the deep. But they caught so many fish when they did what they were told that their nets break. This tells us a couple of things. There's no need to give up, nor no need to quit. Just seek help from above and be willing to listen and follow the help from above. When you get help from heaven, you get help that's unknown on this side of life. Some folk are just so set in their ways, they may not recognize when God has given them help and they continue on their own. We must learn to recognize help when it comes to us. Do you remember where the church was praying for Peter to be released from jail? And what happened? While they were praying, Peter was at the gate trying to get in. Do you remember that, church?
Amen.
So sometimes you have to be willing to look to see if the answer is closer than what you feel it is. What you feel it is. Then, church, there is the story of an abundance of fish. In the Word of God, we find another look at what the Word of God is capable of doing. The first part of this equation is simple. We are given that in Matthew chapter 14. Could turn over with me in Matthew chapter 14, as a matter of fact. In Matthew chapter 14, starting at about verse number 15, I want you to notice something, what the Bible says. First of all, in verse number 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. And the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals. How can the church leader tell you to send the folk away when the folk are already there? That would be committing church suicide, would it not? So the Lord said, look at verse number 17. Verse 17. Well, let's start at verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Jesus said, we don't have to send them no place. All we got to do is give them what we got. But once again, somebody had something to say about it. Look at verse 17. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said in verse number 18, bring them hither unto me, Bring them to me, in other words, and let me take care of that. You don't do the worrying. I'll take care of everything. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. The disciples suggested first of all that they be sent away to buy their own food. But Jesus had another thing in mind. He said, don't send them anywhere. Use what you already got. So sometimes the church has to accept the fact that we must use what we've got, but we must cast our nets to find these people in order to bring them to us. See, the greatest thing that we have is the prayer, is our prayers to get up, to go up to God.
Amen.
Only God knows the mind of Jesus. Therefore, the disciples could not see the answer that Jesus had already worked out. So in verse number 17, once again, we look what the Bible says in verse number 17. He says, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In verse number 18, Jesus said, bring them to me. As they gave Jesus that inventory on what they had on hand, they said, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, first thought in mind, that probably wouldn't have made but a couple of sandwiches, right? That would have gave you a lot of bread, but not much meat or not much substance, as we like to say when we sit down to eat. But Jesus said, just bring it to me. And when you've got trouble, sometimes that seem insurmountable, give them over to Jesus and let him go to work. All we need to do is to pray for his help. Jesus turned those 5 loaves and 2 fishes into an open-air seafood picnic, didn't he, church?
Amen.
Over 5,000 people were fed, if you notice once again in verse number 20. Verse number 20 and 21. And they all did eat. And they were full. They didn't just eat a morsel. In other words, it was more than appetizers. Now, somebody may ask, did they have spaghetti and coleslaw with the fish? I don't know. The Bible doesn't give me that, but all I know, it said that they were filled. And they had enough to take 12 baskets full with them. When it comes to giving, we can't be God, church. He has given us life, but he also sustains this life that we live. We can learn something from these stories. Number one, some of what I want us to learn is that we must become fishers of men. Number two, don't try to run away from God when he gives you instruction. And number three, when you don't have but a little, God can multiply it and make more. And then number four, when you are at the point of giving up, turn it over to Jesus. Turn your whole life over to Jesus and learn to obey him and watch the changes that he can make. In order to reach the men, we sometimes must cast our teachings out a little further. Sometimes we must be like the disciples and not complain or not tell the Lord, I've already tried that. Just do what he tells. And sometimes, it just seems as though sometimes, when you think about it, church, when you look at the matter at hand, when you're trying to win souls, nothing is too much to win a soul to Jesus. When I think about how many opportunities some of us have had, how many times we've overlooked opportunities to bring someone into the fold simply because maybe we didn't try hard enough. Maybe we didn't know how. Maybe we didn't have anyone to back us up. But you know, all that can be solved. You know how you can solve all of that? You go to God in prayer. And sometimes your answer may come back. And the answer may be pick up the telephone and call one of the leaders in the church. Call one of your brothers or one of your sisters in church and say, will you go with me? I got one on the line. I got a fish on the line right now. And I need a little help. So sometimes, church, when we are trying to reach a person who stands a guilty distance from God's throne, we need a help to reach them. And the church must be willing to cast out a little further. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus went to Gethsemane to pray, the Bible said he did what? He went a little further. We too must be willing to go further. We must go further to be fishers of those caught out in the deep, to bring them back, to bring them into the Lord's fold if they've never been in there before. And when you look at this matter, church, when you go over to Luke chapter 5 once again, and you look at what the Bible says in verse number 4, where Jesus said, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a drop. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When you have tried all that you can, when your life seems like nothing but one long try, you need to go back sometimes and review the situation all over again. Ask the Lord to send you help from above. And look what happened in verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. And it works the same when you're trying to reach those who are lost from the Word of God. When you have found somebody that needs help, you need to be willing to help them. When you have found someone who you know needs God in their life, sometimes it's not easy to reach the lost.
Amen.
Sometimes just by opening up your door is not enough. Sometimes you have to go in the back door method. You have to use the back door method to get to people sometimes. Sometimes you have to meet them on their territory in order to get them to understand where you are coming from with the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about when I say cast your nets out a little further. And there are those this morning who would say, well, it took a long time to get me into the church, so I know it's going to take a long time to get somebody else in there. Well, that's not necessarily true. And it may be true, but it's not necessarily true. See, because you were stubborn doesn't mean the person you're trying to get is also as stubborn as you were. And I've told you the story many times of how when I was out of the church, the preacher used to come to the front door and I'd run out the back door. So I know what it's like to be stubborn. I know what it's like. I know what it's about when you're trying to reach somebody. But thank God that He allowed me to be here long enough to get back to the church before I was rolled into the church. Thank God I had enough time on my side to get myself back into the fold with the Lord before it was too late. But you know, there are some out there who just may not see things that way. And they need your help. And if you need the Lord's help, don't ever be ashamed to go to the Lord for help. It's like when this invitation is about to be issued in a moment or two here. Just like when the preacher stands up here and says, if you need to come forward, come forward. And somebody said, well, I would go, but somebody's going to be talking about me, and I'm kind of embarrassed to go up front. Well, if you're going to be ashamed of the Lord, you know what He said about that. So what I want you to understand this morning is that there's no reason ever to be ashamed to confess your faults one to another. There's no reason ever to reject the Word of God. And like Simon said, even though we've been here all night, and we haven't been here at church all night, by the way, even though we've been out here all night, at thy word, I'm going to do what you say. And that's the attitude we all need to have as we become fishers of men. At thy word. At thy word, I'll do what thou say. I'll do that whatever thou hast will for me to do. So this morning, if you're not a member of the body of Christ and you'd like to become a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Right behind me here is the water, and the water is ready, and the church is ready to accept you. But if you are a member, but somewhere you walked astray, and people do walk astray, You need to come back home. How do I come back home, preacher? Well, you come back by asking, first of all, the Lord to forgive you, then asking the church to pray for you. If you do this as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
421. 421.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How you doing?